morning, everyone. Welcome to the first show. It's called You've Served, You've Earned, the radio show that talks about resources and services available to anyone who served in the U.S. military, National Guard, and or the reserves. This show is the first of six that will air on Saturdays in October and November, leading up to Veterans Day, which is November 11. The show is sponsored by the Los Angeles County Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Today, we're talking about women in the military. Most people are unaware, but women have been serving in the United States Armed Forces since the founding of our nation. I'm Kathleen Pichet. I work for LA County Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Today, we have three amazing women veterans, and we will introduce them in a moment. But we're going to give a little bit of history on why this matters. And it matters because women have been serving to defend our freedom since the very beginning of our nation. During the Revolutionary War, as colonial militia armed themselves and joined George Washington's Continental Army, many of soldiers' wives, sisters, daughters, and mothers went with them. During the Civil War, nearly 20,000 women lent their skills and efforts in everything from growing crops to feeding Union troops to cooking in Army camps. During World War I, the United States Army Nurse Corps had 403 nurses in its active duty ranks. By June of 1918, only a year later, there were more than 3,000 American nurses deployed to British-operated hospitals in France, working near the front lines, caring for service members and civilians alike, and ensuring the health and safety of Allied troops. In World War II, more than 16 million Americans stepped up to serve on the front lines, and the women of the United States stepped up too. For the first time in history, all branches of the military enlisted women in the ranks. Almost 350,000 American women served in uniform during World War II. Then, 3 years later, in 1948, President Harry S. Truman signed the Women's Armed Services and Integration Act into law, officially allowing women to serve as full permanent members of all branches of the armed forces. Also, approximately 11,000 women were stationed in Vietnam during that war, and 90% of them were nurses in the Army, Navy, and Air Force. Over the past 20 years, there have been a lot of firsts for women in the military. The first woman to become a Navy fighter pilot, the first female four-star general in the Army, and the first female rescue swimmer in the Coast Guard, among many others. Women continue to make history in the military today, pushing boundaries and taking on more prestigious roles than ever before. More than 300,000 women have served in Iraq and Afghanistan since 9/11. More than 9,000 have earned combat action badges. And today, women make up 16% and growing of our nation's armed forces, serving in every branch of the United States military. Again, I'm your host, Kathleen Pichet, and we have three people today here that are going to talk about women veteran issues and why they are important. First up, we have Chief Deputy Director Stephanie Stone from the LA County Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Tell us, Stephanie, your branch of service, what role you had in the military, and what you're doing now.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Stephanie Stone. I was U.S. Navy hospital corpsman. I served largely as an emergency medical corpsman and then later as a sea and air rescue and then spent a little time as a trainer. So I had a lot of fun in the military for 20 years.
Awesome. And what are you doing now?
Right now, I serve as Chief Deputy Director, as you mentioned, of L.A. County's Department of Military and Veteran Affairs, helping with the policy side of our department to ensure that our military members and their families are getting the benefits and being connected to the resources that they need.
Great. Okay, Tiffany Apodaca, you are an accredited Veteran Service Officer. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, ma'am. I served in the United States Navy. I did a lot of jobs in the military as an E3 undesignated airman. So my first job was a yeoman, worked as a yeoman, worked my way up in the training department.
Tell us for people
ship.
That don't know, what is a yeoman?
Yeoman is a basically a paper pusher, receptionist, working for the commander in charge. So I was under his authority, making sure all the paperwork ran smoothly, all the paperwork given to him was documented correctly and stuff like that. I then was on a ship. When I was on the ship, I did a lot of things such as in the air department. We talked and chained for the aircrafts who came in. I was also part of the training department on the ship. Also part of the security awareness team. What we did is we made sure that the ship was secured and safe for everything and making sure, keeping an eye on different things out there. I was deployed in the Persian Gulf, and I'm happy to be here now.
And what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm a veteran service officer for the Los Angeles County Military and Veteran Affairs.
Amazing. Yes. Okay. We have Christina Barraza. Tell us a little about your background, Christina.
Hi, Kathleen. It's a pleasure to be here with my veteran sisters, you, Kathleen, as well. So I retired in 2020 after 24 years of service in the United States Army. I joined at 17 as an automated logistical specialist, basically ordering supplies, inventory, anything dealing with Humvee engines, helicopter rotors, even to the nuts and bolts that hold these desks together. I then became a recruiter. You know, I was seeked out by one of my mentors, and he said, you know, I think I have a position for you. And so he told me about this recruiting gig, and I did it for about 12, 13 years. I became a supervisor for recruiting teams, and they all succeeded, thankfully. And I became a first sergeant for a recruiting recruit sustainment program. So basically training all of those soldiers or recruits who were in the pipeline to go to boot camp. And so we train them in the standards and compliance and how to put on your boots, how to put on your uniform, how to shave your head. So that way, when they got to boot camp, they would be prepared and we'd have a lower training pipeline loss. Then I became a first sergeant for a company. And so I was in charge of the well-being of my troops. At that time, my commander and I were the first ever all-female command team for recruiting and retention command here in Southern California. So we were proud women, minority leaders in the military, and it was just a pleasure. I then moved on to be the diversity and immigration liaison for the state of California, for the California Army National Guard, where I assisted with soldiers who were permanent residents become naturalized citizens, as well as their families, so that way they could work here legally, gain their work status and social security cards. So I then decided it was time to hang up the uniform, put the boots under the bed, and become full-time mom.
Oh, okay. And now tell us what you're doing.
And now I work for SoCal Grant Makers in partnership with Department of Mental Health and DMVA, and I am the Director of Veteran Programs.
Amazing. And the Veteran Peer Access Network is under your administration, and those are veteran peers helping other veterans. So that's a really good program. Okay, let's get to our questions. There are many barriers that women face when it comes to getting the help they need. Stephanie and anyone else who wants to comment, can you talk about what the barriers have been for women?
Okay, I'll go ahead and start. This is Stephanie. I think that, first of all, I'm going to start with our own responsibility. I think oftentimes women veterans will look at ourselves and make an assumption that others will judge us as being less qualified or less worthy of services. And I'll give an example. During the Great Recession, Goodwill Southern California had a wonderful program put on that they developed around an employment program for women veterans. And it was so successful that we would bring in somewhere around 100 to 200 women on a monthly basis for breakfast and to talk with key individuals within organizations, corporate leaders and such, HR directors, to talk about what it took to get a foot in the door. And it ran so well that leadership decided that we should open it up to all veterans, so male and female. And literally within 3 months, what we saw was that women had self-selected out of the process. And it sounds extreme, and it sounds like an exaggeration, but it's not. Because when we went back to those women and asked them why they stopped coming, the response was, well, the employers would ask questions of my male counterpart standing right next to me and make the assumption that they were the combat vet and I wasn't. Or they would say, I don't have anything to prove. I don't need to go through that gauntlet of of trying to show them that I am a combat vet or I'm a worthy veteran for these services. And so I think that's one of the barriers that we put upon ourselves, the assumption that that's going to happen. And then on the other side of the coin is the fact that that is the reality for many of our young women vets, and many of our older vets have lived through that. So in the past, especially in my generation, I came in during the late 70s and spent my career in the 80s and 90s. When we came out, we didn't have the custom of military tattoos or war ink, if you will. We didn't have the military t-shirts that were cut down for women. We didn't have the hats that were made to represent ourselves in our service. More and more we're seeing in this new generation the proud display of military service. That came because there is this lack of awareness that women serve proudly as a volunteer service from day one, and that we have the right to those resources and benefits as well. And they've been in combat for many, many years, long before Congress signed over the ability for women to serve in a combat post. So I think women have been fearful of reaching out, and we've created our own barriers, but it's based off of past experiences.
Okay, thank you. How about you, Tiffany? What barriers did you face when you were among male-dominated service?
Yeah, it was kind of rough for me. I served from 2003 to 2007. And me coming in, hard charger, wanting to do what I, you know, the best I can do. It was hard for me, being a woman in the military. After getting out, though, I struggled. I struggled with a little bit of homelessness. Because, you know, you're trained in the military and you're, how do I say, institutionalized, but militarized, right? You're mm-hmm. just so, you got this thing going on where you got your plans, you know what you need to do from the morning to the night.
Everything is structured.
Exactly. So when you get out, you're just like, okay, what do I need to do now? And so when you get out, you know, they have a TAP class, but it's not extensive where it should be. It needs to be more. They need to add more to that.
Not really prepared.
Exactly. So
you that's need to probably true for everyone.
Right. They need to prepare you better. And so when I got out, it was hard, but I overcame the obstacle. And I'm here to help women veterans too, if they've struggled and they're going through a transition into the civilian sector right now. We're here for them as a veteran service officer. Mm-hmm. I know the many barriers that we go through as women. And coming from what I've been through, and I can relate to them where I've served, I've been there. I can use this, I can understand better.
Let me ask you, why is it better? Is it better for women to talk to other women veterans, and why? Why is that?
Yes, definitely, because we've been through it just like them. Walk the walk, I talk the talk. So I want to, help them understand that I'm here for them to understand that there's a safe space for women veterans. As a VSO and a woman veteran, I know I get a lot of recommendations for women veterans who and it's an honor and a blessing at the same time of what I do as a veteran service officer, because I get to hear their stories. You know, every day I hear them and it touches my heart, and I'm here to help them, to guide them, help them with their benefits that they so deserve, mm-hmm. and they earned it. We earned it as women veterans.
Can I also say, I think I need to add to this, is the reason why Tiffany receives so many referrals is because oftentimes women are coming in as a survivor of military sexual trauma. We still see the data. It still looks like one out of every five or one out of every two, depending on what status you came into the military as. Women, one out of every five women identifies as a survivor of military sexual trauma. And so coming out of the military, and for those that don't know what that means, military sexual trauma is an attack, either abuse or harassment.
And it is a huge issue. It's a very important issue.
But it's by another member in uniform. So it's somebody that you trusted, somebody that you trained with. If you're a reservist, it may be somebody that you actually live in town with. So not only do you have them then in your command, but then when you go home, they're still in the area where you train at. So you see them on the month. your monthly drills. And so, you know, you have this set of clothing that you wear with you as a survivor, and to be able to talk to somebody like Tiffany, or to work with somebody like Tiffany is a godsend. Because when you don't know who's on the other side of that table, all you have is yourself and your fears to deal with oftentimes.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
And the judgments, you know, that go with that, because a lot of times we feel like we don't fit in. And if we say something, it leaves us vulnerable. You know, is that other person on that other end going to say, yeah, right, you didn't go through that, or you're using it just to get more benefit? And so I think that's, you know, one of the big reasons that us as women veterans don't want to speak up, is because of the fear of judgment, or the fear of someone's going to look at me at a certain way or not consider to hire me for that position because I was an alcoholic. I did suffer MST. And that doesn't make me weak. Mm-hmm. It makes me a stronger woman.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Right. It's a huge issue. And we're going to dedicate a whole show to that specific issue. But I want to kind of move on because I think we're running out of time. So how can we help these women? How can we best help? And Tiffany, you're a VSO. You see lots of veteran. And by the way, it's not just the veterans. It's their families that suffer from some of these issues. And Christina, maybe I should start with you. How can we best help them?
Well, there's a few things that I, you know, thought about last night. And one is to help each other come out of our shells. You know, we come out, we don't know where we land in the corporate sector. We don't understand how our 92 Alpha 20 translates to a administrative assistant.
Jobs
seeking, and not just jobs, careers. And careers in leadership positions. You know, we bring so much value to the environment, no matter what it is. And so, you know, I want women veterans to know that, girl, you rock, you know, don't sell yourself short, you know, and if that negotiation has to happen, negotiate. Mm-hmm. Second, empower those that have an opinion, because it only makes our space better. A lot of times I remember just sitting in the back, like not saying anything, because is that going to be a dumb thing to say? But guess what? Even if it's dumb, a little bit can help. A little bit can trigger that leader's mind and say, oh my God, you know, she did say all that other stuff, but that I think we gotta lean in on. And then to make women who serve know that they're valued, and changing the mindset. I'll give you an example of why I say changing the mindset. I went to the VA yesterday at Sepulveda, and I was there for a women's health appointment, which was great. I went to go get my flu shot after with my husband, who is an Air Force veteran. We're walking down and, you know, the nurse is nice, nice lady. And she looks straight at my husband and says, oh, sir, you're here for your flu shot. He says, yes. Straight up, Kathleen, I'm telling you, straight looked at my husband.
And what year is it? I mean, they don't know.
We're all shaking our head here because
we
all know what's coming next.
Come on, man. Like 16% of the armed forces, okay, are women.
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm walking next to my husband, and at this point, I'm thinking, is she not even addressing me? So
you don't feel seen even?
At all.
She didn't even see you?
Oh, it gets better. So then she says, I'm sorry, but we can't give your wife a flu shot here. And I said, excuse me? She said, yeah, for spouses, you're going to have to go to CVS or any other, you know, grocery store. And I said, ma'am, I am a veteran. Oh, I'm so sorry. You're just so pretty.
So there is a lot of assuming going on. Yeah. They don't even bother asking you. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to You Served, You Earn. I'm Kathleen Pichet. My guests today are Christina Barraza, U.S. Army veteran, Tiffany Apodaca, U.S. Navy veteran and veteran service officer, and Stephanie Stone, Navy veteran and chief deputy director for Military and Veterans Affairs here in Los Angeles County. Well, let's get back to our questions. It's such an important topic because the troops are growing. There's more and more women, but yet we still have some of these problems. What would you all say to anyone that has served in the military and they don't think they shouldn't go in there? There's assumption that you're not a veteran. What would you say to them?
The famous saying, you served, you earned, regardless of what you did in there and regardless of the situations that occurred in there, the challenges, everything that you went through in there. You served, you earned. I would come to the nearest county's veteran service office right when you get out of the military, get health care for sure, dental. I know you have 5 years of free healthcare and then 6 months of free dental. I don't know if they changed it, but I know that's what you're going to, you know, do when you get out of the military. And then your benefits. Obviously, your benefits.
Educational benefits.
Education benefits. Homeowners, you know, benefit.
Housing.
Housing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of different resources out there for us.
Mm-hmm. Jobs.
Yeah.
And I think most importantly, the peer support.
That's,
you know,
what I was going to say.
Which is what VPAN does provide, as well as all of us.
Okay,
here.
Let's talk about that. VPAN stands for Veteran Peer Access Network. And what it is five what we call rally points in Los Angeles County, one in each supervisorial district. And they're all peers. They're all veterans helping other veterans. So whatever your issue, and it may not be you, it may be a family member that is in the military and has had experience, cousin, daughter, son, grandfather, they might need help. So if you're listening to this and you think you know somebody that might need help or their family, check it out. Go to youserveyouveearned.com and someone will be in contact with you.
Absolutely. Well, I think part of that is also recognizing that we have a responsibility to the next generation. One of the very first things you learn when you go into boot camp is leadership. You never leave a man or a woman behind. When you're running out there in the very first days of your military life, you have to make sure your shipmate or the soldier next to you is making it along with you. That's the same thing we should be saying to ourselves as we're leaving the gates of our last command. Not only do we have a responsibility to ourselves and to our families, but we have a responsibility to the next generation to be able to go ahead and walk that path, get those benefits, do what we need to do to be able to create a safe life and successful life for ourselves and our families, but also to ensure that that next generation gets there.
Yeah, pay it forward. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for being here today and letting everyone know about the services and benefits available to them. You can just call. You can get a lot of people come and they just want to get the driver's license designation. And that's kind of the gateway service to getting more services, because once they start talking to an advocate, which is what Tiffany is, and a very helpful one, they find out that they're eligible for medical help, you know, compensation, lots of other things. So the least you can do for yourself or your loved one is just check it out. If you're interested, check out youveservedyouveearned.com or call. There's an 877 number, 1-877-4, that's number 4, LA Vets. That's 1-877-4-LA-VETS. Remember, if you've served in the United States military in any capacity, you have earned the right to benefits and compensation. Okay, if you've enjoyed this show, you can tune in next Saturday where we're going to be talking more about the Peer Access Network, about why it's important to have peers help other peers. Someone said a veteran asking for help from the VA without a veteran service officer is like going to court without a lawyer. And it's true. You need help navigating the system. It's too big. It's really hard to get what you need and what you want with good results. So next Saturday, it's going to be 11:30, and we're going to have 6 of these shows. So stay tuned every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. And I want Stephanie to talk about an upcoming event that's we're calling Vet Day LA on November 5th.
So on November 5th, we're holding a Veterans Day celebration at Bob Hope Patriotic Hall, the headquarters for Military and Veteran Affairs for LA County. The event is called Vet Day LA, this year Vet Day LA 22, and we're going to be focusing on the contributions of our Native American veterans throughout the years.
We'll awesome. And also November is Native American
Absolutely.
Month.
Absolutely. So we're really looking forward to seeing everybody come on out. They can take a tour of this historic building that most people have driven by all their time that they've been here in L.A., whether you've been you're a local and you grew up in L.A. or you just came into town. People drive by it every day and don't know what's inside of it. So we're looking forward to having
beautiful
folks come on in.
Historical building. Again, everyone, for the listening audience, you've been listening to You've Served, You've Earned. It's a radio show about military issues and help that military veterans can get. We have Stephanie Stone here, Tiffany Apodaca, and Christina Raza. I'm your host, Kathleen Pichet. You've been listening to You Serve, You Earn. Keep tuning in every Saturday morning on KABC 790 AM at 11:30. You've served, you've earned.